Hello world, I'm your host for this wrap of some of the best talks and coolest speakers at PG Connects London, the Games Conference. My guest today is Gabe Lewis. He is Senior Director, Global Head of Accounts at Missplay. We chat about the science of rewarded ad approaches and how you can keep players and payers coming back. So listen, learn, and love this episode where I chill and chat with Gabe. So this is what I like, being able to sit back, digest an amazing event. Absolutely. And say, okay, what did we see? What did we hear? Gabe, you had a session and just some ideas, some impressions first before we deep dive into what I'm excited to talk about, which is like rewards now and in the future.
Yeah, we had an early morning session today, which was great, well attended, and it was just really awesome to riff about some of the changing things that are happening in 2024. You know, there's a lot of stuff that everyone's aware about in the industry, but I think some of the smaller changes and just sort of the style of games and really focus on the games themselves and how they're evolving and how player mentality is changing and how game developers and everyone else in the ecosystem has to react to that and some of the trends that we're seeing. And I think that provides the exciting opportunities that we're going to see this year.
What about what excited you in your talks and what you're hearing, maybe even just chatting with some marketers?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, just the shifting attitude in the industry around, you know, the sophistication on all sides around, you know, player attitudes and what game developers have to respond to in that way, and then how that translates into how they build their marketing mix and their marketing programs. And that's where the aspects of, you know, integrating loyalty and thinking long term around LTV really is starting to shine. You know, the old tricks of just focusing on the short term aren't working as much anymore, which is, you know, bad news for people who were really good at that. But it's an opportunity for people who are able to shift their mentality and really take a longer view approach. And, you know, as John put it this morning, double down on their strategy and really believe in the products that they're building. So I think there's a lot of excitement, you know, for the people who have the constitution to really dedicate themselves to their crafts.
I interviewed John Wright from Quali, and that was the whole idea in that article when he said, and you have to think about where he's coming from, right? We're talking about casual games, hybrid casual space. When he says, we have to keep people in our game for a year. I remember it was 14 days and you thought, hey, I'm home free. This is working for me. So they've changed how they're looking at things. Tell me a little bit about Missplay. I mean, you also have to adapt to that and probably also adapt to the good news because there's no stigma anymore about incentivized. Remember those days?
Absolutely. I mean, when I started with Missplay 6 years ago, it was really selling people on the concept of, you know, this, it's not just, we don't even use the word incentivized. It was a dirty word at the time, you know, so we had to really change the mentality and really talk about loyalty and talk about incentivizing long-term engagement. And so in that respect, I feel we were ahead of the curve, which was great. And it's fantastic to see and really validating to see the market kind of catch up with that idea. We see so many people focusing on loyalty. And again, it's all part of that ecosystem. It's all part of that idea that we have to think, you know, with a much longer view and really dedicate ourselves to these things. Like you said, people have to stay in the game a year. That's what Missplay itself is trying to do, is trying to create an experience that helps game developers, you know, encourage people to stay in their games longer, where we're, you know, we're curating things for gamers and we're adding this layer of engagement on top of already existing amazing games. So we're there to work hand in hand with these folks to make win-win scenarios. And again, that's what I think is really special about this. And it just plays so smoothly into, you know, user attitude, user behavior. You know, they're here to play games. People love to play games and they're looking for more reasons to play. And if we're adding an extra reason, you know, through the rewards aspect, you know, giving them something back, whether it's something virtual or something physical, you know, that really ties into their lifestyle, then it's just everybody wins in the end.
Mechanics. Make it hard. You have to earn it. If you earn it, you appreciate it. Now, you are about rewards, yep. But how you might be building this in that maybe there's friction to it, that it isn't a piece of cake.
Yeah, it has to be almost part of the game experience. It has to be something that you have to work towards. You give them a, you know, there's the simple aspect of gamification where you give them a little taste early so that they feel good about it. And then you make the rewards harder and harder to get. The other thing that we're doing is trying to get deeper integrated with the games themselves and make sure that we're able to leverage the events that they have, the special events that are going on and the progression that they have in their games, and time the way we engage our users in the same way. So we're coming at them from both ends to give them a great experience that allows them to really have, you know, they really be invested in their game and get the most out of it, both from the game themselves and from the service we provide. So again, it really comes down to tag teaming with the game developers to create this rich experience for gamers that leads to engagement, leads to that long-term, playing and retention, and drives that value for everybody.
Rewards are cool, but it has to be about the game. People didn't come for the rewards. And if they did, they're not going to be that valuable. Correct. So you got to go in there for the mechanic and then time it such that the rewards are like more of a, I want to say trigger, because that always sounds behavioral and sort of, you know, weird, but they're more of a catalyst, an impetus, moving someone through the journey. So is that happening now? Can you give me an example of like what that user journey looks like? Because that's going to be something where there's an interplay, a very deep interplay between the game mechanic and you being literally part of the game.
Yeah, so it's definitely a little bit still in the works, but just from a basic point of view of the reward economy that we've built, you know, it's a long-term economy that incentivizes people over, you know, hours and hours of gameplay. We're constantly iterating on that to make sure that we're responding to user behavior. If we see the drop off, because we can see when users are playing their games, if we see the drop off, we iterate the economy to make sure that it's something that can still be more valuable to users. So that's something we're already doing. And then those deeper integrations that I alluded to are still in the works. So more to come on that pretty soon, I imagine.
I imagine there's got to be some automation, optimization, AI, all that cool stuff.
Every buzzword.
How personal can it get?
I mean, it's down to the user level, right? I mean, we're not the only ones. Lots of people are doing predictions on the user level based on, you know, as much info, as much as you can know about a user. We try and predict if they are going to be a long-standing user, someone who's going to engage with the game, engage with multiple games. And so it's really on the user level, and that leaves room for personalized engagement, you know, through Misplay, through the rewards platform, and the potential is endless on that. You know, the future roadmap on what we can do with the way we engage with each user on an individual level, I mean, the possibilities are really endless. And that's also what really excites me about the future and why I know there's so much room left to go in this space.
So it's not just like what I'm hearing, the players will, you know, shape the experience in the game, but they can also, through their behavior, tacit or express it, shape also the rewards and say, you know, this is the challenge that I'm willing to go for. This is the way I want it presented, or something where the rewards become the experience.
Yeah, I mean, at a very basic fundamental level, it'd be irresponsible of us not to respond to what we witness in user behavior. And so we're going to do that if we notice that there are certain things that make users tick, you know, or certain aspects of their game journey that they really, you know, engage with the most. It's only to ours and their benefit to, if we respond to that and create a reward path or types of rewards or whatever part of the engagement that we experience that we can make that tailors to that behavior. So it's a constant learning experience. It's a constant evolution. And, you know, nobody's static. That's what's exciting too. The market changes, users change, the things they care about change. And we respond to that, and we have to. I mean, otherwise, you know, we have to keep evolving. That's what it is.
You almost have to design for rewards in a way. It's not an afterthought. Help me with the creativity. What goes into mixing that, making it right? Help our audience figure out, hey, okay, I see this, but baking it in, building it in, help me push the boundaries a little bit more, because, you know, hey, a reward video, been there, done that.
Yep. So, I mean, it's interesting. And this is something we alluded to in the discussion this morning too, is the types of rewards, right? You know, I think that's a big thing that comes down to it. And the way the more diversity of types of rewards we can offer, because you use the word rewards, it can mean, you know, people think, oh, I'm just getting cash back or something like that, which is valuable and people appreciate that. But other things, you know, physical goods in the real world that tie into their lifestyle, that match with sort of the profile of a gamer, of a certain type of gamer, if we're talking about RPG gamers, you know, predominantly into certain things, other kinds of gamers into other things, and being able to customize the rewards that we're able to give users, to that style, to that lifestyle is really where I think, you know, the value gets unlocked. It's all in that personalization. And again, with that goal of creating this stickiness, this reason to, you know, to just keep coming back and playing a game. And I think, you know, that's a really big part of it.
What are some consistencies here? Because we know that in behavior, there are some consistencies, and then we have our player types, or we have our, you know, there's so many different models. You can have Professor Bartle. You can do whatever you want. You get 6, 12, I think 14, you know, you pick it. You've got your player types.
Yeah.
Reward types. Now that's something. And you probably have data going into that. Maybe you can lift the lid on some idea of how that's going to help developers make the decision, because you're going to have to match them in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it all comes down into the way we have those discussions with our partners, you know, get to understand them in a true partnership and understand, you know, the kind of game that they're developing and the users that they cater to, and making sure that we can match that offering. I mean, we do have that data on the users as well. And so we can propose, but the idea is that it's a partnership. It's two way. We don't presume to know, you know, everything about a specific game or their users. We really want to work together on that and make sure that we're able to do so. And on our side, you know, leave enough flexibility so that we can, again, design a reward path that caters more specifically to those games, that will, you know, end up in giving the rewards that mean the right things to the right users. It's really around having that diversity and not just pigeonholing everyone into a box. Oh, everyone likes money, and so we are going to say after this amount of time of playing, you get X amount of money. It's not that. It's really saying, you know, you continue as you go, and the more you go, the more you can earn. But, you know, you don't just earn towards one thing. It's whatever you're into, there's an option for you.
How adaptive is that? Because audiences change. Tastes change. And I might say, yeah, I'm really into that, but no, I'm actually really into that. And I want the tech to always change with me. I mean, look at the games themselves. You know, I'm going to be deciding pretty soon my gameplay, my ending, my character, the AI is going to give me the voice I want. I mean, I have everything on my terms. Do I have my rewards on my terms?
I mean, yeah, that's the challenge that's upon us, right? I feel very good about the diversity of rewards we have right now. There, you know, I'll say it generally, there is something for everybody, but the ability to really, really customize that is something that's a challenge for us as, you know, user customization and individuality through gaming, you know, really ramps up and increases. That's our responsibility as well to respond to that. So the more we can do to offer that, the better results our partners, the game developers, are going to see with the users who come through Misplay and play their games. They're going to have a more enriching experience. So again, it's our responsibility to respond to that challenge.
So I can tell by talking with you, Gabe, and also from your panel, you're like, you know, you like to think outside the box a little bit. You like to think ahead, and you've also told me that there's some cool stuff coming. So you know this at Misplay, but having that kind of personality means that you can also be a little frustrated by where we all are, right? Because we're here. This is Q1 2024. You're off, I don't know, Q4 at least, maybe 2025. But what would you like to unlock and unleash and see? Because you know it's possible if we can just get on the same page with you, Gabe.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I try not to live too far ahead. You know, try and be present in the here and now. But certainly, you know, I think you see all the possibilities of what AI can do, and the and really, again, it comes down to individuality. You know, what each person needs to see before them to have a rewarding and engaging path in the games that they're playing, in whatever they're participating in. And I know that the possibilities now to actually map that to an individual user, you know, it's becoming more and more possible by the day. So just waiting for, you know, technology and bandwidth to catch up with our ambitions, you know, like everybody, it's, you know, we've got great ideas. We know, you know, so many special things that we can do to keep engaging users, create like the most rewarding experience that creates, and I use the word term win-win a lot, but it's win-win-win. It's win for us, win for game developers, and win for users. And if one of those is missing, then it doesn't work. And you know, so we really are just excited about all the ideas we have, and being able to put them in motion. Like everybody else, we're trying not to get ahead of ourselves, not trying to fall over our skis, but, It's hard not to. It's exciting times. Things are moving fast. And, you know, every week, every month, we've kind of got, you know, new plans, new ideas that we're able to put in motion.
Give me an idea of something where even for you watching it for the years that you have, you're like, wow, are we on the cusp of something that we can't imagine right now? But help me get there. Help me get there. Where can this go?
That's a great question. It's hard for me to put a finger on a point, because it's like I see an endless plane ahead where it's really become seamless integrations, you know, across multiple games or across, you know, games and lifestyle and things like that, where it's, you're not just playing on your phone and earning rewards while you play, while doing something passive. It's also while doing things in the physical world that may react to that, or things cross game, cross promotion and stuff like that, where you can earn. Cross promotion, exactly, but in a new way with new technology that just sort of takes that loyalty aspect into mind as they do it. So I think it's really the possibilities on that, and the, you know, what we can do these days is really interesting. So that's what excites me.
What about you? What about where you're going, or what keeps you moving, or what you're bringing to this? I want to understand the interplay between your passion and you as a person.
Yeah, my passion is really for relationships and sort of elevating everyone together. I really believe in that in most aspects of my life, that if you can take any scenario and with both parties, or as many parties are involved, leaving in a better place than they started, then everybody moves forward and everybody wins. I take that into my work, and, you know, as a partnerships director, that's the whole reason I do what I do, but it very much stems from my passion in life as well, which is helping people achieve their success. And you can only do that by making sure that both sides or all parties, you know, leave in a better place than where they came. So that's really where it all comes from for me. And I think that translates to any kind of work you can do. I'm fortunate and privileged enough to be able to do something that's so directly related to that, with this partnerships role.
And in this time that we're in, I mean, who doesn't want to be a better version of themselves,
yeah,
right? Personal and
year,
professional, yeah. Growth, absolutely. Gabe, absolutely awesome speaking with you, and to stretch my mind thinking about where this can go. This is not just reward video. This is not that dull stuff we've been talking about for a decade. This is on the cusp of cool. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Peggy. It was a pleasure.
This show is all about how to do your job better, how to make an amazing game, how to market it. And you have a say. So if you have a story or know someone we need to shine a light on, then we would love to hear from you.
We want to hear from you. We want to reflect the reality of the mobile games market in all its wonderful complexity and strangeness. So if you have any suggestions for us, if you have any feedback for us, you can always get in touch. You can email us at podcast@pocketgamer.biz. You can find us on Twitter @PGBiz, and you can reach out to us through the pocketgamer.biz website. If you're interested in listening to all of our podcasts, you can find them at pocketgamer.biz/podcast, and we would love to hear your thoughts on future shows.
And we've got you covered on all the major platforms, so subscribe to the audio podcast, as Brian said. Look for us on YouTube. If you want to read it, hey, you can do that too, because we have a companion post for you as well on the pocketgamer.biz website.
Tune in again for the next edition of the pocketgamer.biz podcast, and we look forward to speaking to you in the near future. Until then, I'm Brian Baglow.
I'm Peggy Ann Saltz, and that's a wrap. Until next week.